Welcome back to the Early Fantasy Challenge podcast. This is episode number 22. I am your co-host, Frankie Sachs. I'm joined, as always, by Javier Gancedo. And Javi, do we have anybody with us?
Well, we have a very special guest today. My wife's favorite player, Mr. Aha Aha. Chima Moneke, what's up, man?
We can work on the aha.
Yeah. I know. I knew you were going to say exactly that.
Listen, you know, I appreciate it, though. Shout out to your wife as well. She's great.
All right. Well, first of all, let me say that the winner of the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge Private League was Antonis Borias of Greece with 221 points. It's unbelievable. Before we start, Chima, I want to ask you about your YouTube experience. You've been doing the YouTube channel for around a year and a half. How is it? How rewarding is that?
Yeah, it's exciting just because, you know, I didn't really have any expectations of it. I'm receiving a lot of love from fellow players, people that I don't even speak to, and people that don't even play basketball, people that are in college, people that are kids, people that are in first, second division or playing in a country that they want to elevate from. It's exciting. And now, like, I have a goal to get to 100,000 subscribers eventually and you know, keep inspiring people.
Jimmy, I got to ask you, I'm going to guess you're not a superstitious guy because it appears like you've changed your uniform number at every stop in your career. 1, 9, 11, 19, now 95. Is there any meaning behind any of those numbers?
I never wanted to wear number 1 or 19. 11 was my favorite number growing up. 11's a pretty popular number in a lot of teams, so that's the first number I asked for. And every time I didn't wear 11, it wasn't available. So I said, yeah, going forward, I don't want to change anymore, and I know 95 will be available, and that's my that's my birth year, so I'm going to stick with 95 going forward.
All right. Well, and you play the yearly fantasy challenge. How has been the season in fantasy for you so far?
Honestly, I started off very excited, very motivated, you know, and I had myself on the team early on. And I just, you know, I have three different teams and it's just, I'm doing YouTube, I'm doing podcasts. I'm not going to lie and say I'm as committed as Sasha is, but, you know, I think that it could be better, and next season, I promise, I will be much better.
There may be some holes in your strategy in that you go for, it appears to me, guys that you have a relationship with, mostly.
Listen, I'm a popular person. I know a lot of people, so if I had to pick people that I'm not cool with, then I have a problem. But TJ will always be on my team. There's several guys that I respect and love that I happen to have relationships with, so I have no problem, you know, telling them, yo, you guys better perform for my team this week.
You know, you're going to play Alba this week. Baskonia beat Alba in the last time that you played, but you didn't play well. Is that a motivation? Is that a pattern? Is that something that, can we expect a very different game for you personally and in general when you play Alba again?
I don't know. I don't think it's as simple as, you know, you don't play well and then you play well the next time. Obviously, I hate when I play bad, but we won the game. The most important thing, especially right now in our season, is to win. So we have 6 games left. We still have an outside chance of making the play-in. And obviously, if I play well, it increases our chances of winning. So I hope to do that and to win.
I think that there's also a big difference between not playing well and not putting up numbers. Kyrie's looking at it from the perspective of he had you for that Alba game on his fantasy team and he's not happy with the numbers that you put up. But when you're winning by 15 points, you're just playing the game. It doesn't mean you had a bad game, you just didn't put up big numbers.
No, I remember that game and it was just one of those games that just, it wasn't my game and we won convincingly. So at the time I remember being super frustrated because of that and I never want to not play well or not put up numbers, but yeah, we won, so it made me forget about that game faster than I would, and I never want to play well. So if anyone is ever upset about my performance because they have me on fantasy, they will never be as upset as me because I'm the one that played.
This is the first time you're going to go to Berlin after doing the pregame show in the Final Four. How was the experience? That was cool, right?
Yeah, that was amazing. I just think it's something that's like that was exciting. I was really good at it. I had a lot of fun. And it inspired me to think about what I could do when I'm done playing. You know, just gave me one more option to think about. And it was amazing. Berlin was great to me.
Talking about the next round, I guess that the highlight game is the rivalry series game of the week. We have Olympiakos Piraeus hosting Panathinaikos Actor Athens, one of these games that everybody wants to see, wants to play. wants to be a part of. How do you see? I mean, I'm sure you've been following the EuroLeague. How do you see this game, not just in fantasy, but in general? Who should win this game?
I mean, it's obviously Pana has been better this season in the rivalry, but Olympiacos has been the best team in the season. So I feel like Olympiacos will win this game just because this is the time where it matters. It's the end of the season, and especially it's a rivalry game, and they know they've lost the last couple. And at some point, the loss of Lasort will be too much, in my opinion. And in this game, I think that this is the game where it'll be, and Olympiacos will continue their great streak. But they're both incredible teams. A lot of people have them both in the Final Four. It'll be exciting to watch, and I'm pretty sure I'll be available. That's on Friday, right?
Yes, it is on.
I'll be watching that.
Yeah, this week the schedule is stacked. 6 games on Thursday and only 3 on Friday, which will allow a lot of people the freedom to watch the derby. But it does make it a little bit tricky making your rosters when a lot of the superstars, particularly the MVP candidates, Vezenkov and Nunn, are playing on Friday. So it's important to find a captain for from the Thursday night games.
Yeah, I completely agree. But I mean, if you have Sasha on your team, which it feels like everyone does, you just got to stick with it. And at this point, I wouldn't be changing my roster too much. I think people like to overthink and say, oh, well, he's playing against this team and this team isn't as good, or he played well last time they played him. Sometimes it's like that, but I think most people just got to have confidence in who they have.
I agree. I mean, if you believe in one guy, you have to go with him. I want to ask you about Monaco, your former team. How do you see Monaco in terms of fantasy? Anybody that you should consider buying?
In terms of fantasy, it's tough just because they're so deep. Obviously, Mike is always someone that you want to consider. He's not having the Mike season that we know we would expect him to have, but coming off of back surgery, he's still going to be improving as the season's coming to an end. But I like Jordan Lloyd. I like Alpha Diallo. He does a lot of things that, you know, add up. But it's also that, like I said, it's a team that you just don't know what to expect. And right now, they just care more about winning. They care more about, you know, performing. But if I was to pick a couple players, it would definitely be Jordan Lloyd and Alpha Diallo right now.
I'm wondering about Madrid and Barcelona. Now that you play against them multiple times during the season, did the EuroLeague get better? Did this team, like, battle too many injuries? Or what's going on with them?
I remember Chu saying before the regular season started that he needed more players, which was something alarming to hear. And honestly felt that way about their team. And I said on my podcast that I didn't think they would make the Final Four. And a lot of people were like, whoa, you're crazy. And obviously there's still a chance they can do that, but it's just different. And then the combination of playing in the ACB, guys, to play a EuroLeague game on a Thursday or Friday, or play a double week and then come and play an Andorra or a Girona or Granada, teams that have ex-EuroLeague guys or ex-NBA players, it's very, very tough. And in Barcelona's case, they lost Lapro for the season when they played us in the ACB game early in the season. They signed Raul Neto, and that didn't work out. They had, obviously, Kevin Punter is injured right now. Jan Vesely's been out for a while. The injuries suck, man, and I think it's a combination of a lot of things, but I don't think it's the EuroLeague getting better, because I feel like 2 seasons ago was the best EuroLeague season, top to bottom.
Let's talk about your backcourt. First of all, do you have an update for us on Kamar Baldwin?
He got on the court with us 2 days ago. There's a chance he plays against Berlin, but I'm not the doctor, so I don't know. That's not my position, but he was on the court with us, and he's definitely getting better.
The other guy who I wanted to ask about is Marcus Howard, who last year led the league in scoring, and this year, I couldn't believe it when I looked at this week to see what his price was in fantasy. He just hasn't had the same season. Can you explain what's changed? And is he somebody that you would recommend believing in fantasy-wise, at least for the rest of the season? And can you, feed him the ball a lot so he gets a lot of points this week?
For fantasy, no. I mean, for fantasy, no. Even last season, I think there's better options for fantasy.
Not at his price, though.
What is his price? I'm not sure.
6.6 credits.
Oh, for 6.6, I'm taking him. But I mean, it's been a tough season for him, and obviously, no one's been harder on Marcus than Marcus. So, he had a great game for us yesterday in the ACB, and that helped us win. And I hope that helped his confidence, and You know, he's playing a different role. He's not starting. There's a lot of life things that happen to people. And I think it's things happen for a reason. And maybe he needed to go through this just to see who would still believe in him. And I feel like whether it happens this season or next season, he's going to come back with a vengeance. And I relate to it in a way because in Monaco, I didn't have the season that he had. That was my first EuroLeague season, and I got there mid-season. But I remember when I left Monaco to come to Baskonia, there was an Instagram post about the most exciting transfers, and I was last on the list out of 13 players. And it's just things like that. I feel like that's what he's going through right now, and he'll be back. He'll be back. I don't know if it'll be this season. I hope it'll be because, you know, we need him at his best. It changes our team, but, you know, I'm always rooting for him.
So, Frankie, let's begin with you. Which trade did you make this week and why?
All right. So I released two Maccabi players, Jimmy Clark and Will Raymond, mostly because the team is getting healthier. Roka Sukubaitis should be back. Tamir Black already returned. And I just think Jimmy Clark was in a fantastic start in his first two EuroLeague games. We'll probably see a little bit less minutes, and I decided to move away from him. And David McCormick, who was one of my favorite players from Alba Berlin, I also released him because I just think the minutes are changing. I just looked, and I think at this point, Alba's just balancing out the minutes. He's not going to get more than 23, 24 minutes, and that's going to be tough to put up big numbers. And coach, Luca Banchi, was my coach. He is not my coach now, but he gave me everything I could want the last week. My new guys in are Marcus Howard, who at 6.6 credits, I think, is a steal. Melvin Ayinka from Asvel, who 5.1 credits. He's starting to play 20, 25 minutes a game. For that price, you can't find that many players. My Monaco addition is Daniel Theis, who I think is taking over a lot of minutes in the big man position. And that's really what fantasy is about. The main currency is minutes. You can't do anything without a lot of minutes. He's getting them. 12 is not cheap, but I think at center, you're not going to find great cheap options. And our coach, Chus Mateo, who this week play Virtus, which has lost 6 in a row. And also next week, they're home against Asvel. So I went for him so I can get 2-for-1, not have to make a change next week, and have another available option going to round 30 next week.
Well, first of all, I have to say that I thought McCormack was your guy. What happened, man? I mean, where's the loyalty? Chima, can you believe that?
It's just like, people turn so fast. But it's a good pick because he's playing against Baskonia. We don't want him to play well, okay?
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. And then, okay, I like Ajensa a lot. I think he played the last two games. I think he had 24 and 15 of PAR. For 5 credits, you're going to get much better than that. And I like Marcus Howard. I like it so much that I'm also buying him. So, yeah, it is cool. Chima, what do you have this week? Do you have any trades in mind?
No trades for me, but I want to comment on Melvin as well, just especially because of the Maledon injury. I don't know what the diagnosis will be, but I like Melvin. I think he's got a bright future, and especially coming to the end of the season, I think they'll require more from him, and he's been playing well. For me, I have on my bench, I have, you know, a few players that I don't expect to play, but I think Yakubo Uatara, he can contribute. I don't expect too much from him, but he can contribute. And then I go with the 6-man lineup that I expect to carry us through the week. And that's Francisco as my 6-man, you know, playing against Paris. I think I expect a duel between him and TJ Shorts, who I have starting as well. Both of my good friends, Carlique Jones as well at Barcelona. He didn't play too well last week, so I expect him to bounce back. Zach Ledeh and Nigel Hayes is my forwards. And I have Joel Bolomboy, who has been consistent when he's been available.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good team, man. What can I say?
I want to ask you just about Ledeh. So Freddie Gillespie is out and Mirotić is questionable, which means that on one hand that they'll need a lot more from Ledeh, but it also means that Zvezda will put a lot more of a focus on Ledeh. Does that concern you, or he's just your guy, so you're going to roll with him regardless?
No, honestly, it doesn't concern me. I think on paper, things like that, you know, it seems like it's the easy answer to put more focus when the guys are out. But I just trust I trust the way he's been playing, the way he's been shooting. He's in a good groove this whole season. Honestly, I think he's probably had 2 or 3 bad games the whole year. And I just I root for him, but I'll, also on the other side, I think that's why Joel Bolombo will be really good for me this week.
All right, so things on my side. In my best team, which is not the one in the podcast, I traded Zach Lidey for you. So let's see what goes. This is going to be interesting.
Pressure.
Oh. No pressure, man. I know. It's cool. And then if you have enough money or enough credits, Ajansa is just 5.1 credits. So I would try to squeeze him in somehow. Like, I don't know how expensive your bench players are. If you have to make only one trade this week, I would go for Melvin.
Okay.
All right. Well, here's my team. I took out T.A. Short. I'm sorry. Coach Banky, Di Bartolomeo, who's injured, and Nigel Williams-Goss. In come Marcus Howard, Jordan Lloyd, Carson Edwards, and Sarunas Jasikevicius. So that way I have more flexibility. I didn't touch my forwards. I love the three forwards I have, Vladimir Lucic, Vazenkov, and Alfa Diallo. So that's the reason why I couldn't squeeze you in, because I had, more urgency than the guard spots. I traded three guards this week, so that's it.
Understood. Makes sense.
All right. Frankie, any comments?
No, I mean, I'll just tell everybody that I commented on your original team before we started recording, and then you made the move. So now I like the team. I like the moves that you've made since then.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Lloyd had a PAR of 25, but I think he missed one shot only. I wonder what happens if he misses a few shots, if his PAR is going to drop dead. I don't know. We'll see. But so far, I'm trusting him. I think he's in a good groove also in the French league. So.
He's also just a solid all-around player. He's not just a scorer that can only get the points from that. He'll pick up other points along the way.
True. He can pass the ball too. He's pretty much all around. So my team would be in turn one would be Howard, Jordan Lloyd, Diallo, Justin Bean, who plays against Chima face-to-face, the power forward. Bolombo and McCormick. I have two Alba players in turn one. I think they're going to go to the bench most probably. And then turn two is Lucic, Bezenkov, Carson Edwards, and Lakic. I'm really loaded in turn two. It's going to be, I have enough backups to, well, in case things go wrong. I really don't expect much from Justin Bean, I have to say. It's like right now the ninth or tenth player in my team. So we'll see.
Yeah, my starting lineup is going to go with two centers on Thursday, because I got Tyson Bolomboy, who a lot of people have, and he's been fantastic. One forward in Nainka, but a lot more on the bench. And I've got Matt Strazel, Marcus Hauer, and Utara. Utara is my sixth man. And then I have waiting on the bench, I've got Kendrick Nunn, I've got Vazenkov, I got Lucic, I got Juancho Hernangonez. So I've got a lot of points to bring off, a lot of power to bring off the bench. So I just really need of those starters, two guys to put up big numbers, and I'm happy.
I have to say that one of my biggest mistakes in fantasy this year is not considering Juancho Hernangómez like ever. Chima, he's playing amazing, right? He's been, if we had a most improved player in the competition, probably Juancho would be one of the top candidates, right?
I don't know if I like most improved for him, because he had the quality. He just didn't play that well. To me, most improved is someone that, you know, this guy's a proven player. He played in NBA and he had these big expectations coming in. This is what we expected him to do last season. And because he didn't do it, now he's playing how we expected. He doesn't just become most improved. Maybe he had the best season, but based on expectations, I don't think he would be. But he's been a monster. He's been incredible, especially the way he's been rebounding and shooting and just being available. I think that's the best part. Juancho is incredible, a great player.
I think it's really been a matter of fit. Right, because those big numbers and the role has changed. This Lasor got hurt, so he's taken on a slightly different role, and
No. If you remember last year, Dinos Mitoglou was killing. That's the thing. Dinos Mitoglou was playing 30 plus minutes every single game, and Juancho had the role, and then he also got injured. But he started off slow, and then the injury happened, and then coach trusted Mitoglou. That's the thing. Before Lasor got hurt, Juancho was killing as well. So. He's just been playing the way we expect him to play this whole season from the start.
All right, well, let's talk about the captains. Frankie, you go first. Who do you have in turn one? And in case everything goes wrong in turn two?
It's not, I think, anything goes wrong. And Bolomboy is my turn one captain. But he'd have to put up a real monster game for me not to have Zenkov replacing his captain on Friday.
I don't know. I'm reluctant about the Greek Derby. I mean, I know they've been high-scoring games. At some point, they're going to be a low-scoring derby because that's the way derbies roll. Like, games are different from each other. So I'm going to stay away from Bezenko as captain this week. I'm going to go for Bolombo in turn one. And then I do expect a really high-scoring game between Efes and Bayern Munich, and I'm going with Carson Edwards as turn two captain, just in case. Chima, what do you have?
I feel like staying away from Bezenko is... Never do that, especially this season. Don't ever stay away from him. But
I'm glad you said it.
It's just don't overcomplicate things. I have Nigel Hayes as my turn one captain, and Carly Jones for turn two.
All right, well, that's pretty much it. That's all we have time for. Chima, thank you very much for joining us. Very good luck to you, not just in the Fantasy Challenge, which is just a game, but to Baskonia Vitoria Gasteiz in the reminder of the Turkish Airlines Euro League, the Spanish League. Best of luck, and all the best for you, brother.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Stay safe, stay healthy. God bless.
And let me just remind everybody, you can catch all the games this week on EuroLeague TV, including on Thursday, seeing Chim and Baskonia in Berlin. And on Friday, the EuroLeague Rivalry Series, the game of the week between Olympiakos and Panathinaikos. Other than that, we just ask you to like the podcast, share the podcast, tell your friends about the podcast, watch Chima's podcast as well. And we are not only available on YouTube, but also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and wherever podcasts can be heard. Until then, we'll see you next week.